The Mali deployment is part of Ottawa's commitment of $450 million, 600 soldiers, and 150 police officers toward UN peacekeeping missions. So why Mali, and what are the risks? For help answering those questions, I'm joined by Walter Dorn. He's a professor at the Canadian Armed Forces College and a faculty member of the Pearson Peacekeeping Center. Walter Dorn, what are the lessons from Bosnia and Somalia that the military can learn from?
The Bosnia and Somalian experiences were really traumatic experiences for the country and for the UN. And for both Canada and the UN, they learned, and I think these lessons really are learned, that there is a time when force has to be used to protect civilians. And the UN Security Council, since the turn of the century, has put protection of civilians into the mandates of its multidimensional peace operations all the time. And now the missions and the soldiers have to prepare themselves that if they see atrocities, they are responsible to do something, and they aren't stopped from taking action.
And how much of a change is that, that force can actually be seen as a part of a peacekeeping mission?
Right. So force is a vital part of it. You can even have peace enforcement as part of a peace operation. It's not that you're losing your impartiality, but just like a police officer on a street seeing a violation, they might draw their gun. And so similarly with peacekeepers, they're there to keep the peace, and that may involve using force. And so it's a change from the Cold War type of peacekeeping. And the Bosnia and Somalia missions were a kind of inflection point where the UN and the peacekeepers didn't really know how to handle these situations. Now they know.
You have been to Mali. What awaits our air crews and our troops?
It's a very challenging mission. It's got all the elements that make for a lot of intrigue. It's got terrorism, civil rivalry between different factions, ethnic, the North-South divide, Arab and Black African. It's got also the difficult situation of the international community trying to cobble together willing nations to make a difference on the ground in an underdeveloped or developing world country.
And so Canada is becoming one of those willing nations. How do you see Canada's mission there evolving?
Well, we've committed to providing helicopters, Chinooks and Griffins, six of them, and that will be really important for the MINUSMA, that's the mission of the UN in Mali, that MINUSMA can transport large numbers of troops, over 40 in a Chinook, and that will make a big difference for the mission's ability to reach distant areas with forces and actually save locals and deal with the various nation-building tasks that the mission has. We have not yet committed to ground forces, but that might come in the future.
Because the Prime Minister has indicated that Canada will have a larger role for the UN. It's committed, up to 600 troops and 150 police officers. So how do you see the possibility of the Mali mission evolving?
Well, it could be that if we put in 200, 250 with the helicopter detachment, the task force, then we might add some more troops later on. But that 600 commitment is not just the Mali. It's UN peacekeeping in general, and it's up to 600 military and up to 150 police. So we might see that we put the helicopters task force into Mali, and then we make a contribution of troops, boots on the ground in the Congo or in the Central African Republic or South Sudan, or maybe even the Middle East. So there's still a variety of scenarios. It's just a little surprising that it's taken the government over 2.5 years to make up its mind about where it wants to go.
One of the troubling issues about peacekeeping in the modern era, and it's an issue in Mali, is child soldiers. Mm-hmm. How does that factor into what our people will face over there?
It's a tremendous dilemma for a peacekeeper to be facing a child soldier with an AK-47 pointed at him. You always have the right to self-defense, but your moral and your ethics kicks in, and the peacekeeper has to decide what action they'll take. And that will be very much dependent on all the indicators of the moment. And we're preparing our soldiers both in Canada and in UN missions better for those kind of dilemmas, those
situations. How do you do that?
First of all, you try and prevent the situation from rising in the first place. Really put a big effort in missions as they do now on child protection officers. So missions typically have those. You try and know what areas those children are operating and be much more careful about how you're approaching those areas. You try and provide alternatives for children in these areas to taking the gun and negotiate with the warlords who are employing them to have them stop the practice, the horrendous practice of child soldiers.
How worried are you about that situation and how it will play out, not just in Mali, but back home here in Canada?
Well, there are so many situations that are dilemmas in peacekeeping, and child soldiers is one of them. It's a very difficult situation. But I don't think it's as likely as the scenario whereby there will be vehicles stop, convoys stop, where people are demanding that the UN engage with local population or provide some aid, or the difficult issue of bribery. So among the host of issues, I think child soldiers is one of them, really ethical and thorny issues. But I think that there are many of them, and that's the stuff of peacekeeping. A real peacekeeper has thought about these things and knows the ways in which to get around the situation so you don't, in the end, have to use force.
The government has said that it wants to increase the role of women in peacekeeping. How might that affect the mission in Mali?
Well, for Canada, it would mean that we have to deploy a substantial portion of the task force. The aviation task force should be women. And that means that we have to at least meet what the UN target is 15% of women. But I think that it'll be pretty easy for us to do that. There are many female Air Force officers and Air Force pilots. And so this is one area where it's easy for us to provide far more than 15% women to a task force.
The military's ready for that then?
Yeah, I think so. We've had such a big effort to try and increase the role of women. We've been aiming for the 25% target for over a decade. There's general awareness about the importance of women. We're teaching it at the command and staff level. And so there's so much emphasis on that that I would think that the average soldier would be surprised if there wasn't a substantial contribution and participation of women in our task force.
And overall, how do you view this mission for Canada? How important is it? Should it be done?
Oh, I think this mission is really important for Canada. The world has been waiting for Canada to contribute to peacekeeping. The UN has been waiting years, and the European allies have been pushing us and really hoping we'd make this contribution. The Dutch were waiting for us when they were starting to rotate out that we would take their place, and we didn't do that. So now there's expectations from Europe and also Africa, too. We're re-engaging in peacekeeping since the last one was in Ethiopia, Eritrea in 2001, where we sent units. So this is important for Canada, and it's important that the flag be shown in a proud fashion where we're actually having impact on the ground.
Walter Dorn, thanks. It's nice to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Walter Dorn is a professor at the Royal Military College of Canada.